You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and James Millman in the studio. A busy Friday coming up as well. Two national hunt meetings in the afternoon, Fakenham and Wincanton. Two flat meetings as well at Haydock and Redcar. And then two all-weather meetings in the evening from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So six meetings to look forward to this Friday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. Very well indeed. And looking forward to Champions Weekend. Goodness gracious me. How brilliant is that card of racing?
Very, very good card to look forward to. We might as well talk about that while we're on the subject. Nice little piece about Sylvester D'Souza today as well, that he's looking forward to being crowned champion jockey. His family are coming over to celebrate with him. It'll be a good day for him, won't it?
Well, absolutely brilliant for him, yeah. I mean, he's knocked on the door on a couple of occasions, hasn't quite opened, had a bit of a disappointing season last year, but he's bounced back. And the great thing is he's had no worries, has he, about the championship?
No.
It was going to be his from a long, long time ago. And he's kept riding daily, kept riding winners, and he's a worthy champion. And again, it's nice to see a jockey who's put the work in, put the hours in, not necessarily rode all the best horses, did actually ride the winner that was one of the biggest upsets of the season when he beat Golden Horn at York, yep, on Arabian Queen. But again, lots of his have been little fish, but they've been certainly sweet for him.
Yeah, and it's good to see as well on the back of, he had a tricky time when he went to Godolphin, didn't he?
And it didn't work, basically.
Yeah,
it didn't work for whatever reason. But he's bounced back, and again, you know, after sort of like committing like he did to Godolphin, there was a chance where he might have just closed a few doors along the way. But to be fair, he's obviously a good guy, and those doors soon opened up for him again.
Yeah, and I suppose it would be fitting should Arabian Queen win the fillies and mares, given that it was one of the upsets of the season, the only blemish on Golden Horn's record. It would be a nice way for her to sign off the season as well.
Well, it would, and again, it would possibly silence some of the doubters that her success that day was because Golden Horn was under the weather or Golden Horn didn't enjoy the sticky ground at York or whatever. But yeah, it would be nice for her to win and say, well, actually, it was a good filly on the day that beat him, fair and square.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got that to look forward to. Plenty of other top-class races as well. I suppose the big news in terms of the champion stakes is that Jack Hobbs has been drawn in 12. We've seen in the arc that John Gosden doesn't necessarily have the best luck with the draws, but they'll have a plan with Jack Hobbs, same as they did with Golden Horn, won't they?
Of course they will. They'll left no stone unturned, no blade of grass not walked, and they will have a plan of attack to give the horse the best opportunity. It is a little bit galling that he's drawn again out on the wing, but by the same token, you know, he is a very good horse in his own right, and as we saw Golden Horn overcome that nightmare draw in Longchamp a couple of weeks ago, there's no reason why he can't overcome it as well.
So do you think Jack Hobbs will still win?
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah. All right, what about the QE2 then? Solo against Glen Eagles, should Glen Eagles turn up?
You're having a laugh, yeah. Right? Yeah? You're having a laugh.
He's
Glen
not gonna
Eagles turn up.
Nah.
Oh, he's the elusive one, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think the forecast is a little bit hit and missy. He's certainly not going to get firm ground there this weekend, are you?
Sorry, because it's good to soft in place.
Because the thing is, the days are getting shorter, the atmosphere's damp, so you're not getting any stage drying. I would say there's two chances of Glen Eagles turning up, little and none.
Yeah, I'm glad you went with a polite version there.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
If Glen Eagles doesn't run, does that make Solo a penalty kick?
I think so, don't you? I mean, yeah. I don't really think there's any strength in depth in it after him, to be fair. So, you know, it's more his to lose if Glen Eagles doesn't turn up than to win.
Yeah. Anything else on Champions Day caught your eye?
Not really. It's just a great idea. I thought last weekend at Newmarket, the Future Champions weekend was cracking.
Yep.
We saw some really class acts, that is for sure. And I think it now works now. They seem to have got the balance right.
Yep.
And again, I'm not sure how the Jockeys Championship works. That's not entirely convinced me yet. But by the same token, at least, you know, he's going to have his day in the sun, so to speak, Sylvester.
Yeah.
And Racing Post Trophy and such like, well, may as well just cancel that.
Yeah. Might as well, yeah.
Call it a day. put the white flag up.
Yeah.
Season is over.
Yeah. But let's not dampen the day with that.
Let's get on the move, and rather than the doom and the gloom,
yeah.
Happy days ahead, surely.
Yeah, a bit of news about Joseph O'Brien breaking recently as well, that we kind of knew that he was going to reduce his riding commitments and aim towards taking up training in the future, and it looks like that's going to be underway from next year.
Yeah, I think it's already happening, to be fair. I think he's got the operation going at the yard nearby to Ballydoyle, and he's obviously widening his experiences. I think he's got an awful lot of horses that are going to be colouring the McManus colours. And I personally wouldn't like to see him riding over jumps.
No?
I don't think so, no. No. He's had a great career on the flat. Obviously, the weight's getting the better of him, and, he's done remarkable to keep it under control as long as he has done. But I prefer him to remember him as a good flat jockey rather than him taking the risks of a jump jockey.
Yeah. He's had trouble with his weight, and he seems to get more flack than anybody else, doesn't he? He's been a champion jockey now and twice.
The lad's done remarkably well, but by the same token, he's been in a very privileged position as well, hasn't he?
Of course, yeah.
And you give him that opportunity to 99 lads out of 100 that have done the same as him, so to speak. Yeah. So, I think he's been... And he'll more likely be the first person to own up to say he's been very privileged to have those horses and have that firepower. But by the same token, he has become a very accomplished jockey in his own right at the tender age of 22.
Yeah.
There's a lot of miles on the clock on those young shoulders, that's for sure.
Yeah, he seems to have quite an experienced head on him already, doesn't he? So.
Oh, no, two ways about it, yeah. And I'm sure he'll be a success as a trainer as well. But again, by the same token, he's going to be given the opportunity because he's going to be on the right horses.
Yeah, yeah.
Does actually make life slightly easier, to say the least.
Fair enough. Let's change ideas and talk a little bit about the jumps as well. You were at Weatherby yesterday, start of the jump season there, and just looking in the paper today, Many Clouds set to make his return in the Charlie Hall and at Weatherby. So.
Yeah, to be fair, I walked on the track yesterday afternoon. Harvey Smith had just finished walking it. I had a chat with him. He said the track was in great nick. Said slightly firm on landing at one or two of the fences, but in general, he thought it looked fantastic. He had a great covering of grass. It was perfect going there yesterday. You could have run any horse you wanted on that ground yesterday. It was stunning. We were witness to plenty of good racing, some very tight finishes, and although the racing wasn't out of the top draw, it certainly enthralled the crowd, of which I thought the crowd was quite big there yesterday.
Yeah.
For a midweek jump fixture.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all positive. And again, at the end of the day, Weatherby is a Grade 1 track. It's got big races such as the Charlie Hall coming up, and that's what we want to see. They want to see that superstars there, don't we?
Yeah, and Many Clouds is up there, isn't he? Grand National winner, Hennessy winner. And,
By far, yeah, we want to see him. He's going to pull in the crowds.
Yeah.
So it'll be all good. I think that's... Is that the first weekend in November, something like that, end of October, isn't it?
Yeah.
So all good, yeah. It was positive at Weatherby yesterday.
Yeah.
Shame a number of the races were won by Southern trainers, not Northern trainers, but we've got that old conquer again where the Southern boys seem to be happy to travel and the Northern boys don't.
Yeah, that's the thing though, isn't it? That's a rumbling debate that would go on for a while if we were to get stuck into it.
So it would indeed. It would go into the wee small hours and by that time we'd have been requiring a wee dram or two.
So we'll swerve that and we'll get stuck into Friday's action. Pimmy's going to look at three races at Haydock Forest and one of the obstacles at Wincanton as well. So we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll spin through these in time order, starting with the 2:35 at Haydock Park. This is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. We've done you a nice easy one to start with here, Pimmy. 17 runners to pick through here, and which ones have made the shortlist?
I think, to be fair, you've done me up like a kipper. A 17-runner, 6 furlong handicap at Haydock Park as an opening race, but there we go. The slant I'm going to take for this race is the David O'Meara slant. He's represented by 3 runners, Flyman, Provident Spirit and Signor Piccolo. All have been a reasonable sort of season. All have been running competitive well. And I'm just going to side with what I feel is the stable jockey's choice in the shape of Flyman. He ran well enough in defeat here at Haydock last time out when he was 5th of 16s, a couple of lengths behind Brando. he seems that he's in good form. He's been plying his trade in competitive stuff. And again, I think stall 11 is a fairly competitive box to be coming out of. So David O'Meara, take the field on with his three. An obvious three, the selection would be Flyman.
Flyman, the selection for Pimmy then in the 2.35 at Hayrock Park. Bit of jumping next from Wayne Canton in there, 3.35. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over a mile and seven furlongs. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got a field of nine here, Pimmy. I suppose we could start with Mountain Fighter. Not had many starts over hurdles, and like many John Ferguson ones, he's going to probably be quite fancied here.
More than likely quite fancied. Again, isn't it interesting? 1 mile, seven furlongs, 65 yards. I thought all races were meant to be 2 milers. How does that work, young fella?
Well, they got the measuring wrong, didn't they?
Right. So we've never really had 2 mile races.
No, that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I noticed something new in the racing post yesterday I hadn't noticed before when I was looking through. A lot of the jumps racers in the form say OMS next to them, which I think stands for Old Measuring System.
Oh, right. Right, OMS, Old Measuring System.
I think so, something along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't actually ever 2 miles.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So then all the timings are wrong, and that's possibly what's been going wrong with my stopwatch.
That probably is, yeah.
I've been setting it up for 2 milers. Oh, dear. Ah, well, at least there's some compensation to be gained there, thinking that I've been timing him over the wrong trip. Who knows? Anyway, Mountain Fighter. I thought, to be fair, his second behind Argot last time out actually wasn't that strong, to be honest. Argot's okay as a horse, but he's no world beater, that's for sure. And I just thought he might be flattered there, a Mountain Fighter. He comes here off a mark of 127. They sensibly take £7 off him in the shape of Mr. Alex Ferguson. But for me, no. I would rather take him on there, to be honest, Mountain Fighter. So I'm going to go right down to the bottom and look for Dry Old Party. The mare, trained by Philip Hobbs and ridden by Tom O'Brien, came good last time out when she won at Newton Abbot. That was over 2 mile 2. It's slightly less tomorrow, but don't think that's too much of an issue. And I think possibly her confidence will have been bolstered by that success last time. And I think just with 10 stone 12 on her back, she's the one they've got to beat.
Dry Old Party, the selection for Pimmy.
Have you ever been to a dry old party?
No, what is a dry old party? Without alcohol?
Well, it's with either without alcohol or without enough alcohol.
Right.
Usually without enough alcohol in my case.
Yeah, so a disappointing party then.
Yes, yeah. Yes, indeed. We wouldn't want to go to one of those parties.
Fair enough. I suppose they're hoping for a dry old party for Glen Eagles, aren't they? But,
well, yeah, it won't be happening.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Let's move on to the 3.35 at Haydock Park next. This one is a Class 3 handicap over a mile. It's got just 17 runners here, Pimmy, as well. But Mitcham Swagger will attract a lot of attention, given that he's had two starts and two wins.
Well, I think, again, the great thing is, hopefully they'll stand the ground. And then you've got 17 heading to post in a handicap. We've got first four home.
Yep.
So that's a little bit of a sweetener. But by the same token, it doesn't actually make life much easier for us, does it? Because, I mean, it's a very, very competitive handicap, as you'd imagine. Mitcham Spagger, well, we've seen him twice. He's won twice. He won here at Haydock Park last time out when he beat Ganea. And I definitely feel that he's a big player. But that win came off a mark of 87, up to 93. He is a progressive profile. Whether he can belie that £6 rise remains to be seen. But he's certainly a player. But by the same token, I think the two horses that also won last time out are interesting as well. So we've got Bertie Whittle, trained by David Barron. Rowan Scott rode this horse to win at York last time out. That was an apprentice handicap, so no penalty there. And Rowan Scott takes his £7 off. So that certainly, for me, brings Bertie Whittle into the equation. And the other one I like is the Jed O'Keefe runner, Dark Ocean. Now, that won off a mark of 80 last time out. Goes up to a mark of 84 tomorrow afternoon. But again, I thought that form was pretty strong when it beat Red Charmer at Ponte Carlo last time out. And again, I think that could be a player. So, three winners from last time out. If I've got to nail McCullers to the mast, Dark Ocean.
Dark Ocean, the selection for Pimmy in the 3.45 then. And it doesn't get much easier in the 5.30 at Haydock. This is a Class 4 handicap over 2 miles. We have 16 of them, so one less runner to worry about. In this.
Only record. 16.
Yeah, only 16 this time.
But again, first four.
Yep.
Keep remembering that first four.
Exactly. So where's the value in here then?
Well, this is tricky, tricky, tricky. I'll tell you that for certain. But, again, you need something that you know is going to stay, out and out stay. Obviously, Night Generation, very progressive profile. Won its last three. Set off winning off a mark of 54. Now up to 85. Again, has to up its game tomorrow afternoon to be a player. But certainly this is the profile that you get at one of Sir Mark's, isn't it? Once they start rocking and rolling, they're very well handicapped when they start the winning ways, and that continues. So, you know, there's no two ways about it. Night Generation's going to be a player tomorrow afternoon. I thought Handiwork was interesting as well, who's been running well, but not quite getting there. Finished really well behind Tuscan Gold at Pontefract last time out. I thought Handiwork was interesting. But then I've come to the conclusion that we all need to be in it. The Magic Circle. Just a three-year-old. But again, nice sort of horse. We like Rafe Beckett as a trainer. And I think Magic Circle is certainly a player tomorrow afternoon. And again, beat Captain Navarre last time out. Steps up quite a bit in the trip, to be fair, though. 1.05 when he won at Haydock last time. Steps up to 2 miles tomorrow afternoon. But I feel that the step up in trip will suit it. And Harry Bentley takes the mount. Now, 51 winners this season as Harry Bentley. But if you'd had a pound stake on all his rides, you'd be up £93. Now, you wouldn't say that about too many jockeys. A, with a plus next to the name, but not certainly £93. So he's been riding winners at good prices. Very, very capable young pilot. And I think he's going to ride the last race winner at Haydock in Magic Circle.
Yeah, he was on board Magic Circle last time as well.
He rode him well, didn't he?
Yeah, so he knows him well.
He does indeed.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Let's have a quick summary then, Pimmy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Yes, we will indeed, because we're looking forward. I'm not sure whether we should do them in like a Yankee or a... You know, a couple of singles, doubles, trebles or whatever. I think we can have a few combinations there. Again, I would just tread carefully, look for a bit of value. If they are each-way prices tomorrow, definitely put them each way. But we're going to go for the four selections. In the 2.35 at Haydock Park, the selection is Flyman. And then we've got the Jumps card at Wincanton, where we're going for Dry Old Party. Dark Ocean in the next race at Haydock Park at 3.45, and in the 5.30 at Haydock, we're going to join the Magic Circle.
Superb. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Look forward to it.
There you go. The thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1.20pm. Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and James Millman will be the team in the studio. Four meetings on Friday afternoon. Fakenham, Haydock, Redcar and Wincanton, and two more in the evening from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.